Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. If you are struggling with a question and an answer has been elusive, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And this is the last live broadcast for about a week, because we are doing something that is absolutely marvelous. We're redoing our entire studio so that we can aptly harness the digital media platforms that are available to Christian ministries like ours today. And not only that, but it coincides with my sixth chemo. So I'm going to be in the hospital next week with my sixth and hopefully final chemo. So we have a week's worth of fantastic programs that I have pre-recorded for you. Monday and Tuesday, there's an episode of Hank Unplugged where I interview Raymond Ibrahim. And this is an absolutely fascinating discussion of Islam and the persecution of Christians in the Middle East. Not only that, but we're going to be talking about Raymond Ibrahim's forthcoming book on the Muslim conquest and the militaristic history of Islamic expansionism. Now, obviously, I know the content, and I will tell you it's riveting. Wednesday and Thursday, a message I gave on Muslim, what you need to know about the world's fastest growing religion. It was my first ever message on Islam, and I want you to hear it. It was at the 2017, so earlier this year, the 2017 Now More Than Ever Missions Conference at Idlewild Baptist Church in Lutz, Florida. And of course, the pastor there, Pastor Ken Witten, fantastic pastor. And so we'll bring that message to you as well. Again, that is Wednesday and Thursday. I not only give the message, which is an overview of my book, but also answer questions, all of that coming up on Wednesday and Thursday. Friday, I might be back in studio if I can get out of the hospital in time to do a live broadcast. I'm looking forward to that possibility. A lot of things I want to discuss with you on the broadcast today, but let's first go to our callers. Kathleen in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a Christian, and I have been in chronic pain for 5 years and had to actually call the doctor and tell them I could not live anymore if they weren't able to give me some relief. And they finally put me on pain medicine, and I am finally getting relief. But I actually felt that I could not go on any longer. But as a Christian, I didn't feel I could take my own life, although I did want to die. And what does the Bible say under circumstances like that?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Kathleen, I'm sorry you're going through this kind of suffering. But even as I'm experiencing in my own life, suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, that's not my idea. That is precisely what God says through Paul in Romans chapter 5. Like suffering for our faith, physical suffering, therefore, has redemptive value. And I've often likened it unto a furnace that rids us of dross. that fashions us more and more like unto our Lord. And that's not really original with me. The Prince of Preachers, as he was called, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, himself was someone who suffered terribly. Not only did he suffer the insults of those that were jealous of him. In other words, they didn't have the internet back then, but they had a grapevine that worked pretty well, and he was constantly being barraged by insults from fellow pastors and many people, even though he had this huge church in London. And I love what he said. He said, "I am certain that I never grew in grace one half as much anywhere as I have upon the bed of pain." Now, C.S. Lewis said something very, very similar. And I think, Kathleen, these words, and maybe there's words that could get riveted in your mind, these words are that God whispers to us in our pleasures, but he speaks to us in our conscience and then shouts to us in our pain. In other words, pain is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Now, that's not to say that there's virtue in needless suffering. And therefore, I'm very, very happy that you have been afforded something that we are afforded in this time-space continuum, the miracle of pain management. And that's certainly consistent with biblical morality. What's not consistent with biblical morality is to take your own life, because every moment you have is precious. And again, I can tell you that God uses suffering for his glory and for our good. I mean, the Bible is very clear about this. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purposes. So even in our suffering and pain, God does something miraculous for kingdom purposes and also to bless us. Because when we're in pain and suffering, and I'm sure you've experienced this, there's only one place you can turn. You can turn to the Lord. Nothing else will do.
Thank you so much. It has made me more compassionate towards others.
Oh, wonderful.
And I have gotten on some medicine that hopefully, it is helping me, and if it has to be something that I take daily, I will do anything. It's been a real struggle. I did not want to hurt myself. I knew I could not do that. And I've read the scriptures that you quoted. I do support your research institute. Mm. I love your program. But, you know, when you're really suffering, it's very, very difficult. I would tell the Lord, you know where I'm at. I can't even pray for myself anymore. So thank you, Hank. And I'm going to keep hanging in there.
Well, Kathleen, you can't pray sometimes, but there are others that can pray for you, and I want to do that right now. Lord, thank you so much for this call, for the encouragement that it is to me. And Lord, thank you so much that Kathleen has chosen not death, but life. And Lord, that in her suffering, she has learned compassion towards others. And Lord, I pray that each day she might learn to lean more and more heavily upon your arm and not upon human flesh. Oh Lord, I pray that you will give her peace in the midst of this storm. And Lord, will you use the pain that Kathleen is experiencing in ways that affect people around her and ultimately provide for the consummation of your kingdom. Lord, bless Kathleen in the midst of suffering. We pray this not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Hank. Bless you also.
Bless you, Kathleen. I really appreciate your call. I think suffering is, well, I'm experiencing it to some degree, but obviously not to the degree that Kathleen has suffered. But suffering is something that ultimately ought to lead us to a true valuation of things. Speaking about a true valuation of things, I wish Sally Quinn had a true valuation of things. I was reading USA Today, and the headline, huge type, Sally Quinn has cast three hexes and is convinced they worked. She, of course, is a veteran journalist, and she's the founder of a website, ironically enough, that's called On Faith. And she describes her lifelong belief in the occult and worries that she once put hexes on people, and those hexes actually worked. You read the article, it's a question and answer, and in response to questions, she pointed out that she has psychic abilities. And she says, my mother put hexes on two people, and boy, did they work. Those people died. And she said, I saw her do that, and then when I was in my late 20s and 30s, there were three people who I put a hex on. And then when she was asked about how she did that, she said, well, there's a ritual. She mentioned candles and music and fire and notes. And she said, as a result, one person died right away. Another person got fired immediately and then died, and then the other one died right away. So evidently two died instantaneously. And then her brother said to her, well, you've got to stop doing this. It's bad karma. And when she heard that, she said, I never did it again. Although she's been tempted. In the article, we read that she says, believe me, since Donald Trump was elected, and since that election, I can't tell you how many friends have asked me to put a hex on Donald Trump, and I won't do it. I just said, no, I don't do that anymore. In other words, she's not going to murder another person. It worked for her mother. I mean, you didn't have to use a knife. You didn't have to use a sword. You didn't have to use a gun. You just had to learn the ritual and use a hex. And she ends the Q&A in USA Today by saying she had an epiphany, which was that all of the things that I had believed in, all of the magic that I believed in was just as legitimate as organized religion, as legitimate as Islam, Judaism, Catholicism, Protestantism. So I began to see that all religion was magic, and it is. She also says, I can't understand that any God who was omniscient and all good would allow suffering, and that's the big hurdle I have about a confessional God. Now, I don't have time in this segment to unpack all of this, but I think it's important for us, in light of Sally Quinn's new book, Finding Magic, I think it's instructive and incumbent upon us to discuss after the break a couple of things. She doesn't believe in a confessional God because a confessional God would not allow suffering. What's the Christian response? Secondly, she's involved in occult practices, or at least she was. And I think by looking at the title of her book, although I haven't read it, she still is to some degree. She's just not killing people anymore with her hexes. It's a pretty disturbing thing, and I think we need to talk about the world of the occult as well, so I'll tackle both those issues on the other side of the break. This is another great example of why it is necessary for Christians to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them, and do that with gentleness and with respect. Again, do remember that all this month, Muslim, what you need to know about the world's fastest growing religion available. Not only that, for those who join CRI's monthly support team, they're pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or to a friend. Check that out on the web at equip.org, and the audiobook is going to be available as well. The book, however, now available to you, nobody else, just our listeners. We'll be right back with more.
While legions of the theologically clueless and politically correct fall over themselves in their rush to paint a warmer and kinder picture of Islam, you might well be wondering, what's really the truth? Hank Hanegraaff clearly answers the question in his new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive the book, Muslim, as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The Coen brothers are among the most critically acclaimed film directors of our time. Yet the meaning behind their movies is often veiled in mystery. This offers a clue about the Coens' worldview. The difficulty is part of the design. Other topics include changing attitudes toward the resurrection of Jesus. Is a pro-life hermeneutic possible? How to revive a dead church? The Jewish Talmud and its use for Christian apologetics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. For most Americans, pronouncements from our public officials that Islam is a religion of peace are impossible to reconcile with daily headlines and jarring photos of global Islamic jihadist atrocities. To help you understand the real Islam, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you his new book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and other life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And just before the break, I was talking about Sally Quinn, her new book, Finding Magic. And in an interview she did with USA Today, she was talking about how her mother had psychic abilities, just as she has psychic abilities. And she saw her mother put hexes on two people. They died. She also put hexes on people who died. And she was asked to put a hex on Donald Trump by many of her friends, but she says she's not going to do that anymore. Now, what Sally Quinn is into is the world of the occult. And I thought that I would spend a few moments talking about the world of the occult, because this is one of the core values of the Christian Research Institute. It is to counter cults and this occultist kind of behavior that Sally Quinn was involved in. It's kind of interesting, even in the article, she wasn't going to divulge all the secrets. And that's quite common, because the actual idea in the Latin has inculcated in it this idea of hidden or secret. But, of course, now she's taken the world of the occult, and it is no longer in the closet. It's out of the closet. It's been glamorized. I mean, think about this. You don't like someone, you can kill them. You don't even have to go to court. This kind of sorcery or magic is an attempt by occultists to harness paranormal powers for private purposes. So what they do is they use these ritualistic formulas. She talks about, well, music and candles and fire and notes, but doesn't want to elaborate beyond that. They use spells, incantations. And what they're trying to do is harness what they perceive to be the natural and spiritual powers of the universe in order to satisfy their own desires. Someone hurts you. Someone doesn't love you as they should. You feel jilted. Well, put a hex on them. And then they'll pay. So it's a matter of learning how to harness this power. Now, what does God say about that? Well, first of all, God lets us know that it is lame. There's no real inherent power here. This is mythological. It's not real. But God warns the Israelites that these very practices would inevitably lead to their downfall. Not only that, he rebuked the Babylonians. He rebuked them because they supposed that they could bypass his power through their many sorceries and potent spells. And that's the germ of the issue. It is seeking another power other than God. It is trying to supplant the one who created the universe and stamped his imprimatur on us with a counterfeit. And in doing that, they are believing in a kind of spiritism that is completely bankrupt. The Ouija boards, the crystal balls, the idea of conjuring up the dead. All of this is something that God spoke out against very, very strongly, warning those who practice spiritism. by saying, I will set my face against the person who turns to mediums. And in the Bible, we see something very graphic in this regard. Sally Quinn really couldn't kill anybody with her hexes. That's delusional. God, however, has the power of life and death. And so you see Saul, who was made the first king of Israel, turn from God to hexes, to spiritists, to, well, the Witch of Endor. And as a result, he thinks that through a witch, he can get answers that he no longer wants to get from God. And you remember in the story, Samuel appears, and the witch is bewitched. She is absolutely terrified because she certainly wasn't expecting this. So Samuel was raised from the dead, not by an occult power. That would be impossible. But by God. And that was as a severe warning. And you see that warning carried out in the life of Israel's first king, because with the warning came the result. Saul died. So we should never turn to anyone but to the true and living God. The bottom line when it comes to spiritists is prostitution. And when they're involved in that kind of prostitution, they end up cutting themselves off from all that is true and right and good. I was also very intrigued by Sally Quinn saying that she could not understand that any God who was omniscient and all good would allow suffering. She said that's the big hurdle. That's why she does not believe in a confessional God. Which, of course, brings up one of the questions that is asked over and over again by those who disbelieve. That question is asked to those who believe, and those who believe need to answer. And when they answer, they're giving a reason for the hope that lies within them, and hopefully they can do that with gentleness and with respect. Now, at first blush, when that question is asked, when you're asked the question about evil or suffering, there might seem to be as many responses as there are religions. In truth, there are only three: pantheism, philosophical naturalism, and, of course, theism. Now, pantheism, we'll get rid of the first two quickly, it denies the ultimate existence of good and evil. Why? Because in this view, God is all and all is God. What about philosophical naturalism? That is the worldview which today undergirds evolutionism. Well, philosophical naturalism supposes that everything is a function of random material processes, and thus there can be no such thing as good and evil in the ultimate sense. So theism is the only possibility, and only Christian theism answers the question of suffering and evil in a satisfactory manner. Now, let's boil this down to three things. First of all, freedom of choice. Christian theism acknowledges that God created the potential for evil when He created humans with freedom of choice. We choose to love or hate. We choose to do good or evil. And the record of history bears eloquent testimony to the fact that humans of their own free will have actualized the reality of evil through their ungodly choices. Remember, God is not the author of evil. He created the potential for evil. But he did that by granting humans freedom of choice. There's a second point. Without choice, love is meaningless. A lot of people don't like to hear this, but it's true. God is neither a cosmic rapist who forces his love on people, nor a cosmic puppeteer who forces people to love him. Instead, God, who is the personification of love, grants us freedom of choice. And without freedom, well, we'd be a little more than pre-programmed robots. The final point I'd like to bring out in this regard is that the fact that God created the potential for evil by granting us freedom of choice is ultimately going to lead to the best of all possible worlds. It's going to lead to a world in which there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Those who choose Christ will be redeemed from evil by his goodness and will forever be free from sin. So we live in a fallen, sin-cursed world. And many people suffer as a result of the sin, not only of a cursed world, but the sin of people. Lives are taken away by drunk drivers, by murderers. And we should also recognize that the gravity that keeps us on the planet is the same gravity that enables fatal falls. And in that, we realize that even natural disasters, now we've just experienced in Houston, Texas, one of the worst devastations in the United States of America, Hurricane Harvey. And now there's Hurricane Irma. Looks like its sights set directly on Florida. And a lot of suffering can come out of that. And so in the midst of suffering, there has to be a word of encouragement. And that word of encouragement is we look forward to a place, a universe, in which it no longer groans in travail, but is liberated from its bondage to decay, as Paul puts it in Romans chapter 8. And we too ourselves will be liberated. So we look forward to that which we do not yet have, and we expect it earnestly. I've written about all of that and more in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back with a quote of the day and more questions.
Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. The current narrative is that to tell the truth in this regard is tantamount to radicalizing Muslims and exacerbating hostilities that may otherwise lie dormant. A common refrain has reverberated throughout the West: Islam is not our enemy. As well-intentioned as this mantra may be, the danger in this stance becomes clear once someone understands Islam in full. Read the new book by Hank Hanegraaff, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man.
Thank you.
The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Recent scholarly research has been significantly more open toward Jesus' healing the sick, His empty tomb, and even His post-resurrection appearances. So why have these same critics not fallen to their knees and proclaimed, "My Lord and my God"? Other topics include the Jewish Talmud and its use for Christian apologetics, the Cohen brothers and the riddle of existence, defending the biblical view of human sexuality using an effective Socratic question approach, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. For all the debate over Islam and its growing presence in the world, one thing is often overlooked. Islam is not a religion in the sanitized Western sense. It is, in contrast, an all-encompassing socio-political legal matrix that has bred a worldview antagonistic to anything but itself. While there may be millions of peaceful and tolerant Muslims, many of them are neighbors, Islam itself is hardly peaceful and tolerant. Read Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day, and then your calls, 888-ASK-HANK. I thought, in light of the fact that I opened with Sally Quinn, who said she's cast three hexes and is convinced they worked, that I would quote, for the quote of the day, Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 18, where he says, "When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. And I should add, who does the Lord drive out before you? It is the nations that practice these detestable things, that do not trust in the Lord God. And Israel was warned that when they came into the good land, that if they devolved into these kinds of practices and forget the Lord their God, they too would be driven out. And what was communicated as a warning became a reality when the Assyrians became the axe of God's judgment against the northern kingdom after the kingdom had been split in two already, and then later the southern kingdom by the Babylonians. So this is not something to trifle with. God created us for fellowship with Him, and when we find that fellowship, we find our all. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Sigrid, El Paso, Texas, KELP. Hi, Sigrid.
Hi, Hank.
Hi.
I hope you get well soon.
Thank you.
I'll be praying for you.
Oh, thank you.
Have the best results from the treatments that you're taking. And I'm sure a lot of the listeners are praying for you as well.
Oh, bless you.
I called you a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Sir, I thought I recognized the name.
I'm sorry?
I said I thought I recognized the name.
Yes. Just a little background. My husband had forced me to divorce him because, well, first of all, he many years ago he was born again,
uh-huh.
And he has chosen to follow the evil of the world and doesn't want to live the Christian life. So he wants to follow the worldly life. And I'm still praying for him. I'm not sure if that's going to do any good. But my primary question is, I know it is a choice to either follow Jesus or follow the evil. But I've also heard several times that God chooses you. So what's the criteria of what makes God choose you to become a follower?
Yeah, well, I think that I would not answer in that fashion. I would give you an alternative answer to the question. And that alternative is that Christ was willing to suffer more than any human being, more than the cumulative sufferings of all humanity, so that we might be reconciled to Him, not only for time, but also for eternity. The Lord does not wish that anyone would perish. The Bible says, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they should turn from their wicked ways and live. So the Bible, I think, is very, very clear that we have an opportunity to respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit or reject the wooing of the Holy Spirit. And God has caused a wooing that is universal, in a sense, which is to say that His eternal power, His divine nature are clearly seen through what has been made, and therefore no one has an excuse. We look at the universe, we know there is a universe creator. And if we will respond to that light, there's another light internally that lets us know that there is a God who loves us. It's written into our DNA. God has written His very essence on the canvas of our consciousness. And if we will but respond to that, we have the light of Christ to turn to as well. In fact, you listen to what the Apostle Paul says, and you can have no doubt that God cares for all people everywhere. And that's what Paul said. He gave a marvelous exposition of God's love and mercy, grace and goodness towards all humanity when he said, from one man, God created every nation of men that they should inhabit the entire earth. And then he designed the exact times and places that they should live and did that so that men might reach out for him and find him though he is not far from each one of us. Which is to say that God is not throwing obstacles in our way. He's putting us in precise positions to be able to respond to his goodness and his grace. Now, obviously, there are lights that are brighter and lights that are more dim. And what I mean by that is if you look at the light that was made available to Abraham, it certainly is not as bright as the light that is available to your husband. Abraham looked forward to Christ dimly because he looked forward to Christ in the dim light of types and shadows. Your husband, you, I, and anyone else listening in, we can look back at a Christ who has already invaded time and space. And if we reject that Christ, we do so because we don't want a relationship. We don't want what God so freely offers us. We don't want the very thing for which we were created. So ultimately, God has made plain that we are created for life in the Trinity, for fellowship with him, not only in time, but also, and more importantly, I think, in eternity, because that is everlasting. And so God is not willing that any should perish, and that is true for all people. But again, just as you cannot make a human being love you through force, God does not force his love on people.
Absolutely.
So where does that leave us?
Well, ultimately, it is our choice that we're making.
And it also leaves...
With appropriate precautions.
Yes, and you know, you mentioned something in the prologue to your question about prayer, and I would not give up in terms of prayer. I always say prayer is firing the winning shot. And I'm constantly praying, as many people are praying, for my healing. And I do every single day. I knock. Now, obviously, I recognize that God knows what's best. His ways are perfect, and that's why ultimately I pray, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And I recognize in praying that the only thing that I'm really after in my prayer is not to get my will or my way, but I'm interested in developing a relationship with the lover of my soul. So what's great is you can build intimacy with the Lord and then lay all your burdens on him. And when you, I have a great friend, his name is Elijah, and he always gives me fantastic illustrations. One of the illustrations, I don't know if you can picture this, people passing bricks, you know, trying to get them to a particular place where those bricks can be used to build a wall. And so you're passing them along from the brick pile all the way to where the person is going to mortar the brick into the wall. Now, if you're one of those people that doesn't pass the brick, the next brick comes and puts on top of the brick you already have, and then another one, and suddenly you have three bricks and four bricks, and after a while you fall under the burden. So we have to keep passing on our cares to the Lord and don't take them back up again. We pass that brick along. We give it to the Lord, and we know the Lord loves us with an everlasting love, and tantamount to saying we leave everything in the altar and don't try to pick it back up again.
Unfortunately, I am now divorced. I was unable to get through to him, but that doesn't stop me from continuously praying for his salvation. Still, you can either go one way or the other. It can make you better or bitter, and I'm determined not to have me get the bitter part.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, God, a cigarette brings beauty out of ashes. And so, again, something that I quoted earlier applies to you as well. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purposes. And I'm certain now that I've had a couple of conversations with you, you are one who is called according to his purposes. So just as you pray for your ex-husband, and you pray for reconciliation, remember there'll be a lot of other people praying for you because they've listened in to the conversation as well. And I want to thank everybody as we get to the end of this broadcast for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Do remember, Muslim, what you need to know about the world's fastest growing religion, available all this month. For those who support the ministry, check it out on the web at equip.org. Look forward to being back here soon.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. Did you know that the Quran and the Hadith are full of commands to subjugate or kill unbelievers, and that Sharia mandates proactive and perpetual war against Jews and Christians? In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of CRI, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you his new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The Coen brothers are among the most critically acclaimed film directors of our time. Yet the meaning behind their movies is often veiled in mystery. This offers a clue about the Coens' worldview. The difficulty is part of the design. Other topics include changing attitudes toward the resurrection of Jesus. Is a pro-life hermeneutic possible? How to revive a dead church? The Jewish Talmud and its use for Christian apologetics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. www.thelastliveblog.org.